Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, revisiting Mark's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Mark's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Mark, even though I read through Mark in 2020. The world has changed. I've changed, and so I expect my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying now. I want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me as we wonder about the earliest gospel. Yeah, it was written before Matthew, Luke, or John. I will do my best to keep my wonderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple of minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 2 weeks ago. So if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search Norm Seeley, N-O-R-M-S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me at the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, let's see what Mark's Gospel has to say this time. Today it's Mark 16, verses 19 to 20, just the last two verses of the whole gospel. For the last couple of days, we have been in the supplemental endings to Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel, earliest documents indicate that it ended with Mary, and Salome leaving the tomb, having been told that Jesus is risen, and leaving there amazed and terrified. Presumably to go and tell the others, to go and tell the 11. That's where it ended. And then we had another little ending that said, yes, they did that, and that then we started to share the good news in the world. And then on top of that, then there was another ending that clearly is meant to have been sort of superimposed over the ending we already had, because we were reintroduced to Mary, although she seemed to be alone without the other Mary. Or Salome, and we're told that she went and told the disciples, but they didn't believe. And then we heard about two followers out in the country and walking with what they thought was a stranger, turned out to be Jesus, and they went back and told the 11, and they didn't believe. And then Jesus went and met the 11 and told them, upbraided them for their stubbornness, as I recall, and they believed. And went on to share the good news. And also, the followers then were handling snakes and drinking poison without worry and healing the sick. That was sort of all described. That's where we left it yesterday. So it seems as if this longer ending is sort of meant to replace the very last part of Mark's gospel and connect it. At least that's how it seemed to me. Connected to John's gospel, where Jesus meets the 11 and upbraids them for their stubbornness, and connected to Luke's gospel, where the couple on the road to Emmaus met the risen Christ and then went back to tell the others. So it seems to be trying to bring everything together. I did wonder a little bit about handling snakes and drinking poison and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, all of that was yesterday, and now we'll just get the very last two verses of the gospel. So, here we go. It's Mark 16, 19 and 20. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. There you go. That's how it ended. Probably could have read that yesterday too, but then what would he have done today? I mean, it does wrap it all up nicely. So after he has seen everybody and they get it, he's taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Now, other Gospels give us more detail. Other Gospels give us, well, more time. I mean, time isn't really an issue here, but it's when you read this, it would seem almost as if Jesus was risen, appeared to a couple of people, and appeared to the 11, set them straight, and then ascended. Could have all happened in a couple, 3 days. Whereas, of course, the others would have it take a little bit longer, well over a month. But I don't think that's what's important to Mark, or in this situation, whoever edited and decided they would improve Mark. I think what they wanted to make clear is that Jesus ascended. The very thing that I loved about the original ending of Mark. And I'm not saying it's the better ending, okay? What I'm saying is it appears to be the earliest ending. We have manuscripts in the 4th century that have this shortest ending where Mary, Mary, and Salome go off terrified and amazed. We have those in the 4th century. So there are earliest manuscripts, and they are presented as complete manuscripts, not like they're missing a page or anything. However, we do have reference from the 1st century, or 2nd century. Anyway, earlier references, it would be 2nd century. Anyway, earlier references to the longer ending in Mark by scholars and theologians. So they're both out there. So it's not like this one was added, hundreds of years later, or that the earlier one is definitely the better one. I get a sense that they existed almost in a contemporary way. So why there's alternate endings, I'm not exactly sure, although I am one who has seen a number of director's cuts of movies. And alternative endings too, by the way. So, the director makes the movie, makes some edits for whatever reason for marketing, and then always wish that they could have maybe gone with their original vision. So for all I know, the longer ending, the one we're reading right now, maybe that is Mark's original vision. Text historians would disagree with me because the style of writing is different. But nevertheless, I'm not saying we have to pick one over the other. But what I did like about the shorter ending is it left me, in a sense, to complete the story. And here, the story has been completed for me. There really is nothing more for me to add. I'm told that Jesus appeared to some people and that we got it. And then went out proclaiming the good news. I get it. Jesus then ascended to heaven and was taken up, sitting at the right hand of God. So that whole divine piece is covered for us. Great. And then we're also told that the Lord continued to work with them, confirming the message, that is the good news, by the signs that accompanied it. And the signs, I assume, are, well, that would be the snake handling and the drinking poison stuff. And perhaps even the healing the sick. Perhaps that's a sign more than the purpose of the ministry. Fact that we can heal the sick, raise the dead, means you should listen to what it is we're saying, which of course brings me back to that core question. What is it that we're saying? What is the core message? What is the good news that we get? What is the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, if the point was to simply heal all of the sick, well, why doesn't God just do that? Just heal them all, done, fixed. Why create us with sickness? Why allow sickness to exist in the human experience? Right? I mean, it's a very tricky thing. If we see Jesus' ministry as a ministry of healing the sick, then we see God at odds with God. I mean, today we might be able to look out at the world and say, all right, so a lot of our problems, well, and I hear people that I respect saying, you know, what kind of God is this that allows bone cancer in children? What kind of God is that allows hurricanes to wipe out whole islands and cities? What kind of God does that? That's a horrible, cruel God. And that argument would hold better for me in the time of Jesus, in that first century period. That would hold better for me then, because there's things we didn't know. Today, when I live, you know, in the 21st century, I am aware of the impact that humanity has on our environment. Environmental degradation, extreme weather, all of those things may not be solely our responsibility, but we are contributors to it. So in fact, I could blame God, but then I could also look at myself and go, yeah, and so you depend on fossil fuel. In fact, you as humanity worked really hard at keeping gas prices super low so people would drive everywhere, you know, a couple of generations ago. What was that? Even when you knew it was wrong, even when you knew that tobacco, smoking tobacco could lead to cancer, you didn't worry about that because you wanted to sell tobacco and it was jobs for people. So human beings made decisions that have allowed illnesses to grow and take root and not be addressed. And the way we have lived has led to degradation of our environment. And so what we call natural disasters may happen more frequently. So we have a part in it. But back then, I'm not sure what part we played in the droughts that came. Maybe we could have planned better. I'm not sure what part we played in diseases. We didn't have the knowledge to create vaccines, to create all sorts of things that would save people. We do now. We didn't then. So if Jesus' ministry was simply to heal disease, then why didn't God just heal everybody or simply not make disease? Today I see disease and disaster being very tied into human impact. Not exclusively, but we have impact. So then what is healing the sick? Well, here, it's a sign. It's a sign that you should be listening to these people, that they are speaking a truth that is more important than illness, more important than poisonous snakes, more important than poisonous water or drink. Right, that's the things they could do. Remember that from yesterday. Handle snakes, drink poison, and they heal people. So what is the good news then? What is the message? And I talked about it yesterday. For me, the good news, the message, is that God is in the world. That's the essence for me of who Jesus is. When I talk about Jesus as the Son of God, or when I talk about the Trinity, where Jesus, God, and the Spirit are one. When I talk about the Word made flesh and dwelling among us from John's Gospel, I am talking about God within the human experience, within the human existence. God who knows me, and through Jesus, I know God. So that Jesus for me is evidence that God is in the world. And that changes the way that I look at the world, changes the way that I live in the world, even changes the way that I look at myself. And for me, that's the good news. If I can live more completely aware of God in the world, I live better. That's the good news for me. However, I listen to what other Christians will say, and other people. By the way, I'm not alone in what I believe, but I am not without dissension. So this ending we just got here, which has the ascension, right? So the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up to heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere. And for some people, it seems that the good news that they need to share is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. That is to say, Jesus, our faith, the one we believe in, the stuff that we do, is the right one. When we say Jesus sits at the right hand of God, we don't say Jesus sits at the right hand of God, it's a great big couch, and the Prophet Muhammad is there, and the Buddha is there, and all these other religious expressions, manifestations, beings, people are all there. We don't say that. No, we say Jesus is there at the right hand of God. No one else is there. And it becomes sort of a victory thing. You see, we are number one. Our faith is the correct one. We win. And I struggle with that, but I hear it so often. We win, and so I have to pledge a special allegiance to Jesus so that I'm on the team, the winning team. When people talk about the moment that the Lord Jesus, that I invited the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and gave him my life, when people say that, I think very often they are talking about a very deep, powerful letting go of ego and connecting with God. And other people say it like, yep, I'm on his team now and we win. We're not those guys, whatever those guys may be, whatever those people may be, they're the ones of other faiths. They're secondary. We win. Our God, our Jesus, is at the right hand of God. So we win. It's like the winner's podium. And that to me isn't the good news. The good news for me isn't that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. The good news is that God is at my right hand and at my left and is behind me and before me and is all around me. That the world, the reality in which I live, is within God. God is not distant nor absent. That's for me what the good news is. And sometimes, especially when you just use the ascension story just lightly like that, just sort of nod and say, yep, he was taken up and sits at the right hand of God. Stripping it from the detail that we get in Luke's gospel or Matthew's gospel. Taking away the longer form story just basically announces, yep, we win. And do I struggle with that. Because then, to me, they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere. It just means they ran around bragging that their guy's number one. We're number one. Forget Mithras. Jesus wins. We're number one. Never mind Moses and the patriarchs. Jesus wins. And then we continue that through the centuries to this very day where we're pretty sure that our faith is the best one. And if you don't join us, you are an infidel. You are an outsider. You are a loser, which of course is completely counter to what I believe the actual good news is. The good news is that God is in the world with all of us. And so I can experience God in other faiths. It doesn't mean that I'm letting go of my faith. In fact, it's my faith, which is centered on Jesus, who is God in the world. It's that very faith that invites me to experience other faiths and look for God there. Because having confirmed that God is in the world, I am excited to hear others' expressions of faith and connection to God. And I'm quite open to it. Having been convinced that God is in the world, then yes, please show me how you see God in the world. Please show me how you live out God in the world. Yeah, but that doesn't always make me... Doesn't always make me lots of friends in some Christian circles. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. I've kind of been preaching a little bit of a sermon to you, but that's the ending. That's what wraps it all up. And I'll leave it with you to wonder, much like yesterday, does it actually make it better? I mean, is this longer ending any better? The ascension of Jesus, what do you think? Is it a good thing? Is it a necessary thing? If Jesus hadn't ascended, and we believe that his body was in a tomb that we could all go and venerate, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Would it be better? Would it be worse? You might wonder about that. And of course, the question that I will ask, and I ask myself this truthfully, I ask myself this almost every day. What is the good news? What is the good news that I am meant to share? That Jesus invites me, in fact, insists that I share. What is the good news that Jesus equips me to share? It's what it says, right? The Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. So what is that message? Anyway, let me offer a prayer. And just let me offer a prayer. Loving God, thank you for Mark's gospel. A story of faith that invites us to wonder. Thank you, God, for edits and endings. Thank you for the opportunity to wonder about which speaks to us, which makes the most sense, why this one seems better than that one. Thank you, God, for the ability to wonder and the confidence that we need not all agree, that we can believe something in this moment and shift a little bit in the next moment. God, we thank you for those moments that we have heard your word, recognized your voice in our wondering. God, we ask only that we have the courage and the imagination to follow it. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that is it for me today. Next week, I'm going to spend the week on the Lord's Prayer. I think I mentioned that before. I'm going to do a week on the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll start into another book of the Bible. Don't know which one yet, but I'll tell you then. Until I get to see you next week, though, and we will have a session on Monday, although it is Labor Day, I will still... going to read the Bible, so I might as well record it. I'll see you on Monday. Until I see you, God bless. Please know that God sees you exactly where you are, exactly as you are, and that God loves you. God loves you in the light. God loves you in the shadow. God loves you exactly as you are, and even more than that, God's love moves through you and into the world. You matter. God bless you. Have a fabulous Labor Day weekend. See you next week.